Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
So last week I felt like we didn't do justice to the last piece that we ran through very quickly. So I'm going to go through that a little bit more meticulously and patiently. And also I noticed that there are some people around the table who weren't here last week, so I will start as if I don't know what I'm talking about, and that's always the best place to start. So let's start with, because we're not reviewing what we did, we're going to think fresh as if we never saw it again, as if we never saw it once. We're in the list of the Musafim, we're in mitzvah number, I'm not sure which one we're in, all of them at once. The Musafim, mitzvah number 41, 42, 43, depending on which Musaf you're talking about. So 41 is the Musaf of Shabbos, right? And 42 is the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. And 43 is the Musaf of Pesach, you say of Pesach. And just to go on with the flow of his mitzvah here, number 44 is the Minchas HaOmer. We might talk about that a little bit tonight. We will. We're going to focus a lot more on that, as I noted in the email, as we approach Shavuos next week and the week after that. Mitzvah number 45 is the Musaf of Shavuos. 46 is the special concept of Shnei Halachim, the special new invention that the Torah offers for this offering on Shavuos. And then we have Musaf, continuing with the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah and of Yom Kippur and the Avodah of Yom Kippur, and then we get into Sukkot. Okay, fine, just so we just get the pattern here. So we were noting the Rambam in Mitzvah number 42. We spent a little bit of time on the Musaf of Shabbos, so let's look at the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. We'll note something here, which we pointed out last week. Hisha Tivanu, B'hakriv Karban B'chor Rosh Chodesh. This is the mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to be makir v'karban every Rosh Chodesh, Musaf al Tamid Shel Echol Yom, in addition to the Tamid of every day, the Zehu Musaf Shel Rosh Chodesh, and that is the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. That's, okay, so this refrain we'll talk about later, but you notice that the Rambam, when he introduces the Musafim, says, the Zehu, for example, in 41 he says, the Zehu Hanikra Musaf Shabbos, that's one that's called Musaf Shabbos. Because the Torah doesn't refer to it as Musaf. Right? So the Rambam says, when you see the term Musaf Shabbos, that's used in the Gemara, whatever it is, or in the Midrashim, you should know that we're talking about this thing that I just described, which is an additional carbon over the daily coming on Shabbos, right? But that's what's called Musaf Shabbos. And when you get to Rosh Chodesh, there's this additional carbon that we're supposed to offer in addition to the daily offering, and that's Zehu Musaf Shel Rosh Chodesh, and that is the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. So that refrain keeps on coming. We have it in Mitzvah 43, Zehu Musaf Chag HaMatzos, right? So we have to appreciate that a little bit. We'll go back and focus on it now. I'm distracting you, but not for too long. I don't want you to focus on that right now. What I want to focus on is this anomaly, perhaps, of the Rosh Chodesh Musaf as it coincides with Rosh Hashanah, which we went through last week very quickly. So first we should take a moment to appreciate the psukim. So let's look again at the Chumashim. Let's look at Parshas Pinchas.
Is there any reason why the Zehu of Musaf is different?
You mean not the Zehu?
Yeah, Zehu is written, it's the only one that's written in like the practice form. All the other ones are Zehu.
Interesting. The first one is Zehu Hanikra. I was wondering why he doesn't do Hanikra Musaf Rosh Chodesh.
I thought you said that Shabbos one's not really a Musaf.
Well, no, it is really a Musaf. The Rambam says Zehu Hanikra Musaf.
No, it's not really.
The Torah doesn't use the word Musaf with any of the Karbanos.
Right?
Yeah, the word Musaf doesn't appear in the Torah. The Torah just says, do this on this day. And we call that an additional carbon because it means over. Because the Torah says, besides what you're going to do every day, do this. The Torah never says the word in addition. Just says do this. So let's go to Parshas Pinchas. We're looking at First, we want to do the Rosh Chodesh one very quickly because we want to get the formula. To me, by the way, one of the byproducts of being the ayin in the mitzvahs of the Rambam, particularly when you get to these mitzvahs, is that you peel back the shroud of confusion that is almost hovers over everybody's relationship to these things, because they are A, boring, B, meaningless, C, I mean to us, meaningless, and C, just totally divorced from our experience, so therefore we don't have any relationship and reality to it. So when we study it, it's worth taking the time to actually visualize what we're talking about. And we're talking about rams, and we're talking about goats, and we're talking about numbers. For example, how many Jews in the world? Forget about Jews who know anything. Jews who daven Musaf. How many Jews know that the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh is not a carbon? It's a big set of carbonates. It's a lot of animals, right? It's not a carbon. So I remember I've been saying Musaf my whole life, and it quotes what the carbon is, and I know it by heart. I never really realized it until I sat down and learned it.
I'm here because I'm his father.
And welcome. Well, why am I? Why? Maybe you'll love it so much that you won't be able to not come.
Make out after the money.
Yeah, exactly.
But we took a tour of Jerusalem some years ago, and the tour guide was a guy. He was, kind of giving us context. So where we were standing, he said, "What do you think you are smelling?" Barbecue. Because of the constancy of the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Odor.
Yeah.
Ever present also.
Very good. There's something to it. By the way, I've had big Tamei Chachamim who have told me that one of the ways that they actually behar is the word that one of them used. One of the ways that he but the way that he allowed himself to really dig, that's the word in English, dig the sugya, was to actually imagine a cow pushing an animal, a bull pushing an animal into a pit, right? As opposed to the concept of the din of a bar, the halacha of a bar, right? He held that the way to learn Torah is to actually ingrain it by, at least through the power of imagination, live through what the Torah is talking about, as opposed to a legalistic thing that's ruled, but you don't have the experience of an animal that fell to the bottom of a pit that is 18 inches deep, minimally, right, or whatever it is. Yeah. So I'm just saying it's important. So here we go. So I'm just saying, as we go through this, it's just worth grabbing onto it mentally. So the Torah says, so you have an olah. Right? Oh, bringing in an ola? I always thought of an ola as an animal on the altar and it gets burnt. I'm sorry, Yud Aleph, chapter 28, verse 11. Right there, your finger's right on it. Okay, so an ola. So it's an ola, but guess what the ola is? Harim, b'nei v'kar shnayim. There are these cows, a cattle, two, v'ayar l'chad, and a ram, kavosim b'nei shana shiva, and seven goats that are a year old, t'minim. So that is the ola, right? So that the ola of Rosh Chodesh, in chapter 28, verse 11, in Pinchas, and by Midbar. So the Ola of Rosh Chodesh is a lot of animals. That's 7, 8, 9, 10. There are 10 animals right there. And then you're going to add stuff to it. The Shloshah is her name, Solos, and Chudlov, Hashem, and Loparachot. You're going to have 3/10 of an ephah of flour soaked or mixed in oil for each cow. How many cows do you have? Two. What?
What's an
ephah? Ephah is a certain measure. I don't know how to translate it. Exactly. Probably a little bit more than 3 liters. So I don't know. We don't deal with liters too well either. So, and as soon as we hear that, we start going to the Coke bottle and going, Okay, thank you. A liter is 33 point something ounces. So you're going to have 3 Ashanim of Solas for each cow. You've got 2 cows. And Shnei Ashanim Solas for the single aisle. And there is only one aisle. And an Isaron Solas for each cow. For Kevis, for each goat. That's 7 of those. So you got to have 7 Ashanos. Ola, all of that together is an Ola. You got that, it's a lot of stuff, flour, oil, animals, all of that is the Ola of Rosh Chodesh.
Just for one Rosh Chodesh offering.
That's for what Klal Yisrael has to offer on Rosh Chodesh, besides the Korban Tamid in the morning and the afternoon. Right? The Zehu, as the Rambam says, what's called Musa. V'nitzkeihem, and the wine libations that go with it, are going to be a half a hin for each par, and a third of a hin for each ram, and a quarter of a hin for each goat. That is going to be the Ola of each month for the months of the year. And the Torah seems to be as clear as the Rambam. When I say each month, I mean each month. I don't mean each month except Rosh Hashanah. It says each month. You can take the Torah seriously most of the time. So therefore it says each month. Okay. And Seir is Imachal HaChatas Hashem. And besides the Ola, here's also what I want you to offer. A Seir Izim Echad L'Chatas Hashem. One Seir Izim as a sin offering. Right? And this is the famous, what do you mean Chatas? What are you doing a Chatas for? So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, it's an atonement for me that I minimize the moon, and therefore I'm now offering a sin offering for myself, whatever that means, right? And also, technically it really is an atonement for the violation of the Kodesh that's done unintentionally, meaning that there are places we're not allowed to go when we're in a state of contamination. And when we do that unintentionally, like when a tour guide says, don't worry, that's ancient law, it doesn't apply today, but he can't be trusted because he eats treif whenever he can. So that's an unintentional violation of the Makom HaMikdash, according to most authorities, by the way. You could say that it's not true according to every authority, whatever. Okay. Anyway, I was once standing on Shabbos afternoon, near the coastal on the ramp leading up to the that gate over there on the right side over there, and this was in the old days before the first Intifada, in which there was a lot of going and coming in and out of Har Bayis, and a group of nice, sweet American Jews came out of their bus and with their purses and with their everything, with the jingling shkolim in their pockets, Shabbos afternoon, you know, whatever. And the tour guide is coming and he's giving them the whole thing, and he, of course, is God to them. You know, tour guides have always become God by the middle of the trip. You know, you find out that they were fought in this war, and they got wounded over here, and their brother died here, and they're there, and they know every nook and cranny, and they know how to turn the bus around, and they know how to get the bus out of the ditch, and they know whatever it is, and all of a sudden on the side, the little kibbutz, he knows the Arab guy, boy, and they sell him the coke, and he gets a special deal. The tour guide is God. So anyway, So they're standing there, and the sign, big sign says in Hebrew and English, do not cross beyond this point. It is prohibited by Jewish law to go beyond this point, right? And so he's sitting there talking, giving them the whole thing, and then he says, follow me. And he opens the door. So one of the people, one of the nice, innocent American tourists said, but sir, it says we shouldn't go beyond this point. He says, oh, that's not true. That doesn't apply anymore. It's no longer the temple, and it doesn't matter. And that was just, they're just, I couldn't control myself. I couldn't help it. I can't just sit there. I couldn't help it. So I went over politely to her, and I said, ma'am, I have no role here at all, but I'm just, you know, I'm an American like you. I'm just telling you, it does apply now. It's a law. It's real. This is a holy place. You know, whatever it is. Then I walked away. I don't know what she did, but anyway, I'm sorry, whatever. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. She's going to go anyway. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. It's just, you couldn't take it. I'm wasting time, and those of you who are here regularly know I don't do this normally, so I don't know what I'm. But I once was on a tour of the Makom HaMikdash with Barnea Solomon. That's the one you're talking about. Yeah. He's a fantastic tour. He's unbelievable. I mean, he's a Kohen. Yeah. And he's living like you are, and like you are. And he's living as if he's going to be in the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, it's unbelievable. So we're going through, and it happened to be that 2 weeks before, somebody here in Atlanta asked me a shaila about whether or not he's a Levi. And he was totally not religious, had no background, and then he started waking up, so to speak, and he suspects that he's a lady, but he doesn't know. So rather than paskin the shadow, we decided to get facts, like where his parents died, where his father died, buried. So he located his father's grave, and I arranged for a stencil to be made of the gravestone. And then he went there. So it ended up being faxed, and somehow it ended up being handed to me as we're sitting there in the Kotel tunnels, visiting, you know, hearing about the Beis HaMikdash. And then I get this thing, and I turn around and I say, his name isn't Joe, but Joe, you're a lady. this is your office. You know, this is where you work. It was very impactful. You know, it's amazing. It's a, let's talk about visualizing things. You're right there, and you can see the Gesher Kohanim and the whole thing. It's amazing. Okay. So anyway, the series is Achad Chatas Hashem. And so now this is the call of the Musaf. Al, here's the key word. Al Olas HaTzameh Yehosef Nisko. In addition to the Olas HaTzameh shall be done together with its Nisachim. So therefore, that's where that whole paragraph is called the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. So we have a whole Pashkarai here. It's a big deal. Then we go on. Let's skip. We're skipping Pesach, and we're skipping Yom HaBikurim, and we're going to chapter 29. Why the Goyim decided that that's a new chapter, I have no idea. There's nothing at all about that that should make it a new chapter, except that they decided, I know why, because they decided it's a new year. Because they want you not to count from Nisan, because then you'll be Jewish. So they, I'm serious, it's unbelievable. They do it. I don't know. It's like, and maybe they just, I don't know. On the seventh month, that's Tishrei, on the first day, okay, so you're going to have a Yom Teruah, and you should make an Ola. Right? Here, there's no word of Musaf. This is describing the Musaf. You should make an Ola. What is the Ola going to be? It's a lot of things. Har ben Bakar Achad, Ayal Achad, Kvasim ben Eishan Hashivim. Same, right? It says, so it's not two parts, it's one part. And Umin Chasam, Soz Lola Shemen, okay, V'Yisaron Achad, fine. Usir Zem Achad, Chatas. Oh, you're going to do a Chatas on Rosh Hashanah too, as part of the Musaf. Oh, is that the same one that I was going to offer anyway, because it's Rosh Chodesh today? Milvad Olah HaChodesh, besides the Olah of the Chodesh and its Mincha, and the Olah that is the Tamid and its Mincha, right? So you're going to offer this thing that I just told you to offer on Rosh Hashanah. So, so what about the whole, right, what about the Chatas of Rosh Chodesh? Exactly. That's the question. So that is what stimulates the whole argument in the Rishonim about whether or not on Rosh Hashanah there was a Chatas for Rosh Chodesh. Because the Torah seems to overtly omit the thing that I just told you about a few sentences ago when it described the Rosh Chodesh Musaf that had a Chatas in there. Here it mentions the Sirizim as the Rosh Hashanah. When it gets to Rosh Chodesh, it just says the Ola and doesn't say the Chatas. Okay, that's exactly the issue. So let's first look at the... Well, let's get a Tosis. Okay, on the handout, we have on the bottom of one side, it's the side that has... the test is the second Rosh Hashanah of Ches on the base, okay? So, yes, the test is going on the Gemara, which talks about the month of Tishrei, when the moon is, well, that's the question, Shachodesh Miskasaba, that the moon or the month is covered. The context of the Gemara right now, is, I don't think, is important. So Tosa says, in the name of Rashi, She'ein, everybody following here? She'ein halavana niras harachokim. Rashi, Tosa is quoting Rashi. What does it mean, it's covered? The moon is not seen for people who are far away from the horizon. Because on Shachas of Neymarav, like people in the west looking at the morning moon, with Arvas of Neymizrath, or people in the east looking at the moon in the west as it's setting. The Fishik Tanehi, Samach HaChidusha. Because the moon is so tiny, right after its renewal, and therefore, and that's what we mean that it's miskasabo. It's covered. It's discreet. It's hidden away from certain viewers. Special countries. That's how Rashi learns. Maybe Rabbenatam Raya. I'm going to go fast through some of this because it's not germane to our discussion. Rabbenatam brings a Raya mevayikra Rabba from the Medrash. Parshas Amor Lakonim to Kamar Hasim Tikkun B'Chadashov Lekazam Chakenum. So there, the Torah quotes a pasuk from Tehillim that says, "Sound the shofar on the covered day." On the day of our celebration. And so the Gemara says, what do you mean? What, how do you know that means Rosh Hashanah on Tishrei? Hello, Nisan Chodesh Miskas Minister. The Nisan is also a month, and it's also covered at the beginning. The Yesh B'chag, it also has a Yom Tov, so maybe you should blow the shofar somehow on in Nisan. So therefore the Gemara says, Hello, Zesh Shechagu Bo B'chagu Bo B'yom. Its Yom Tov is on that day. The only month you have that it's covered, and there's a Yom Tov, and the Yom Tov is on the day that it's covered, is on the month of Tishrei, the seventh month, on the first day. Okay, fine. But other Mefarsh of Benetam, Benetam additionally offers that the word covered, miskasa means mezuman, means set aside for, or prepared, and he grows and proves it. Gabayam and Amav. Okay, so he wants to say that it means a set-aside day. And that would obviously, and that would be a totally different interpretation of what an orientation to what Rosh Hashanah is. All right. Then, by Rabbi Ben Meshulam, everybody got that? 6 lines down. By Rabbi Ben Meshulam Afarish, what does it mean? Why is it called Kavod Shachodesh Miskasabo? Shein Chatas Rosh Chodesh Karb Rosh Hashanah. There's no Chatas of Rosh Chodesh offered on Rosh Hashanah. Kiddushiv, as it says, Mavad Olas Chodesh Amin Chasav, Velok Siv Mavad Chatas Va'Ola. The Torah says that you're offering the special Rosh Hashanah Musaf besides the Ola of the month, and it doesn't say besides the Chatas and the Ola. Therefore, the Chatas is omitted. You're not supposed to offer a Chatas of Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. And the reasoning would be
the question.
We're trying to figure out what this word in relation to Rosh Hashanah of covered is. What does it mean, covered? So this interpretation of Rabbeinu Shimon is it's covered in the sense that there's a missing chatas. So the chatas is missing, and therefore it's covered away, so to speak. The chatas of Rosh Chodesh isn't offered on Rosh Hashanah. That's all. So he's asserting that the omission in the Torah is purposeful, in order to telegraph that you're not supposed to offer that. The reasoning being, it's not my own reasoning, and it's pretty obvious, is that since you're offering a chatas anyway on Rosh Hashanah, so that chatas will offer as a chatas for Rosh Hashanah. The problem with that reasoning is you're also offering olas anyway. But see, olas are different than chatases. Olas are, here God, here's an ola because I'm offering something. So when you're offering something in the context of Rosh Hashanah, that's not the same thing as offering something in the context of Rosh Chodesh. So therefore you would have an Ola of Rosh Hashanah besides the Ola of Rosh Chodesh. When you're offering a Chatas, it's much more specific to something you need atonement for. So if the Torah already said, do a Chatas on Rosh Hashanah, so then you don't necessarily need another Chatas of Rosh Chodesh because you don't like that.
I mean, the Rosh Chodesh thing was already set up. So you're going to tell me that don't bother setting up a Rosh Hashanah, you already have a default Rosh Chodesh thing already in place.
Okay, you say, so why are you offering on Rosh Hashanah?
Why
preempt it by Rosh Hashanah?
Right.
So maybe you could say that the atonement is expanded because there's more things to atone for. I don't know. It's getting well about this, which means you can make up stuff and it might be right, might be wrong. We don't have any way to prove it. But he's saying...
What did it come for? What is the chatas and Rosh Hashanah come for?
Well, I don't think the Medrash says. I was looking for that. I don't think the Medrash says that. Rashi doesn't play with it over here if you know this. Nechumash. Yeah.
There's one chatas for every holiday.
But yes, that's correct. Yeah. That's true. You could also argue that Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh, except that the Torah says that the olas of Rosh Chodesh are still offered. So I don't mean it's that. Okay. I don't know what to say exactly.
So we're assuming the chatas is part of the
law. We know it is.
No, we'll do a list together, but I'm saying. Well,
it might be its own. Well, the Rambam says, he tells you where to look, right? He tells you that paragraph, so whatever's in that paragraph is the Musaf, right? So whatever's in the paragraph, that is the Musaf that I'm talking about. That's everything in there, including the Chatas. It's a package. So Rebbeinu Meshulam says, okay, so we don't offer the chatas. Hichelor Rebbeinu Tam says, I have a source that proves you wrong. Meaning Rebbeinu Tam is not going to argue from logic or from, interpretation or meaning or symbolism. No, I have a source that says that it was offered. Hichelor Rebbeinu Tam, the Bereish Tosefta B'Shavuos, in the beginning of the Tosefta B'Shavuos, it says, Shavuos is a Masechta, not the Yom Tov, right? The Masechta is the Shavuos about oaths, right? That it says, that's a misprint here, not Lamed. It should be Lamed Beis, I'm pretty sure. I'm almost sure in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, the printer on the sides is Lamed Beis. 32 Se'irim Mekrim Yisrael V'Chol Shana. There are 32 Se'irim that the Klai Yisrael offer every year as part of their Musaf thing. The Chashim, it also lists 12 Barash Yechadashim. 12 on Rosh Chodesh. That Se'ir was for the Chakas. 12 on Rosh Chodesh, so obviously that's 12 months. We're both in the Musaf Rosh Hashanah. This gets a little bit Kabbalistic. Rabbi Elazar HaKaliri, which is a very rare quotation in Tosfos of this Python, set up some kind of a representation of the Merkava, right? The chariot that is the vehicle through which the Shekhinah travels through the world. You'll hear more about it Shabbos after Musaf in our marriage Sunday, believe it or not. Okay, so just to add intrigue. Okay, and that's going to be about intimacy. Okay, intimacy in marriage, you can hear about the Merkava. Great. Okay, so he says, there it says 12 theorem were offered on Rosh Chodesh. So therefore you had to be on Rosh Hashanah also. You can't get 12 without Rosh Hashanah. Okay, you have 12 months. Okay. Okay, so therefore you see that whole thing over there. I don't know exactly what he's quoting from the Rav Elazar Kaliri, but he also counted 12. Therefore you see Rosh Chodesh did offer a chatas. Fine. So the Benetam has a kashas. The Heish of the Rabbeinatam, so Rabbeinu Meshulam responded, Shlo Amar She'en Bo Musaf, Ela Miskasa, Shlo Hizkir HaChachatis Bekra. We're not saying that there is no Musaf. That's not what I mean. I don't mean you don't offer it. Or maybe he changed his mind, and he said, I still stick by my interpretation that the covering of Tishrei is that it's not mentioned. Of course it's offered. The Mavad, Kamesh Yizkir Ola. Because the Mavad, the Pasuk of Mavad, which says besides the Karban of Rosh Chodesh, says Mavad the Ola, but it doesn't say Mavad the Chatas. So therefore it's hidden away from view, even though of course it's offered. Okay. Then he goes on with another shot, but that we don't have to get into that now. So the point is, that's the give and take between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rabbeinu Meshulam. And without getting into greater detail, the Achronah, the Pnei Yeshua, and others want to establish that this difference between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rabbeinu Meshulam, about whether or not the Chatas of Rosh Chodesh is offered, has to do with another Machlokas Tanayim, and who you Paskin like, gets very involved.
Didn't they agree, though?
What's that?
The Rabbeinu Meshulam agreed with
that? Yeah, but there are other Rishonim who evidently maintain Rabbeinu Meshulam's position in its original form, that there was no thing. The Rambam seems to be very clear, and the Rambam, by the way, in the Yad HaChazaka is even more explicit. He says, Bechol Rosh Chodesh, and whatever it is you're offering this package. So it's clear the Rambam comes down on the side of the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rabbeinu Meshulam, whatever.
The Rambam, yes. In the Chazaka, this is what I would think would have happened from the word. In the Pesukim of Rosh Chodesh,
yes,
it says, at the end, right before Rosh Chodesh, it says,
No, you're thinking that means... No. I understand what you're suggesting, but the Torah has to do that because the Torah just told you Olas, then told you a whole Mincha and Nisch and the Saskin package, and the Torah wants you to know that all of that is the Ola package, but I have more. And the more is everything. Al Olas HaTamid. All that I'm going to tell you is in addition to the Ola, right? Of the daily Tamid. So Zos Olas Chodesh doesn't mean this is the Karban of Rosh Chodesh. He means this is the Ola part of the thing, and also Sira Chatas, right? The point is, it's not saying end of Karban. Now I also want you to throw a Chatas. It's saying end of the Ola dimension. Those Olas, all of this included in the Nesachim and the thing. So, by the way, I learn like you all the time, meaning when I learn like you. I stopped thinking like you a long time ago, meaning that the way I davened was, this is the Karban of Rosh Chodesh. Zos Olas Chodesh B'Chodesho. And then is the Chatas. But I didn't ever realize. The Torah is not saying that. The Torah is saying, now I finished telling you about the Olas, all of it, with the Nesachim and the Menachas, and still there's more carbon for the Musaf, which is the Machat. It's pretty clear if you look at it. Yeah. Okay. So now, I just wanted to go through that point. Now, I want to move on. I want to notice another point over here, which has to do with the languaging of the Rambam, and it gets back to something that we pointed out last week. It's very well. Maybe let's go through this slowly. Let's see how we get there. this issue of the who of the zehu musaf. Right, the Rambam keeps the refrain of, and this is the musaf. Why did you say the zehu musaf? So you could just say that the Rambam is simply trying to help you understand the terminology of Chazal. So he's tells you, whenever you see the term Musaf, you should know that it's talking about this mitzvah of adding on a carbon on Rosh Chodesh, adding on Shabbos, adding on Pesach. But I have a possible suggestion. I think I got into this in another context. Somebody will remind me because I used this to answer a question, but I forgot what the question was. But here's a possible thing that the Rambam is doing over here. Actually, I saw an idea like this in response to Akasha that the Grizz asked. The Gemara in Zvachim, I'm familiar with this concept very much. This is and it originates here. The Gemara in Zvachim, the first Mishnah in Zvachim, Kolatadir, right, which is the Perek in Zvachim that introduces the concept of Tadir, Vesha'ena Tadir, Tadir Kadim, and that which occurs more often than something else, when you have a choice of two mitzvahs and you have to decide which one comes first. So the Torah establishes that you should always do the one that's tadir first, right? The one that happens more often is performed first, and then the one that happens less often follows. So the Mishnah proves that, or establishes that, by saying that the tamid every day should be offered before the musaf. Whenever you have a musaf, that first the tamid is offered, then the musaf. And if you have multiple musafim, so then if you have a musaf and something else, the musaf comes first because it's more often than the other thing. And that therefore in Rosh Hashanah, you're going to offer the musaf of Rosh Chodesh before you're going to offer the musaf of Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah happens only once a year, and Rosh Chodesh happens 12 times a year. Fine. Then the Gemara says it's based on the Pesukim Mubad Olas HaChodesh. Because since the Torah says besides Olas HaChodesh, the Gemara shows how that proves that means that should have come first. Fine. So the Griz asks the following question. Griz is the Rav Yeshua Zev Soloveitchik. It's one of the Soloveitchiks. Right? The Griz asks the following question. He asks, how could we possibly be using the Musafim to prove the concept of Tadir, the She'en of Tadir, Tadir Kodim, that when you're confronted with different mitzvahs, that you should choose the one that happens most often first? All the Musafim are Olas. They're all Olas. So therefore, they're all the same mitzvah. And he means to ask like this, since with Kachin, when to order to fulfill the mitzvah of a Karban, you have to be Makavit Lishma, you have to offer the karban for the sake of that karban. So when you're offering the musaf of Rosh Chodesh, you're offering an ola for the sake of an ola. You have to have in mind this is an ola. And when you're offering a musaf of Rosh Hashanah, you're offering the ola of Rosh Hashanah, right?
Ola is the gift
off. Yeah, the burnt off. Right. So he's saying, it's the same mitzvah. What do you mean? I mean, it's not two different mitzvahs, and one happens more often. It's the same mitzvah. It's a karban ola. So how can you prove from there as a precedent when you have different mitzvahs with different acts that you should choose one that happens more often? This ola doesn't happen more often than another ola. It's an ola. That's his kasha.
No, it's a package.
What do you mean?
It's a mitzvah package.
Yeah.
It's not an ola. It comes with other karmanos.
So therefore, the Gemara is saying that what?
First of all, it's not just one ola. There's two olas.
He's asking like this. Suppose I offered, he really implies like this, suppose I offered, I take an animal and I say, this is an ola, and I offer it, and I go, this really supposed to be the tumit, right? And I just say, ola. The answer is, there's no problem, because the tumit is an ola. So I offered it as an ola. Who cares what package I'm putting in? If I'm supposed to put an ola on the Mizbeach now, so I put an ola on the Mizbeach, is an ola for a different part of the package? Who cares? It's an ola. That's what he's saying.
What's the kavana, though? It's the kavana that I have to have. Is that general, or is it much more specific? He's going with the indication that that's all the kavana.
I didn't see the Grizz in the original. I'm trying to make the Grizz's kasha to me make sense, because you're hitting on, I think, the issue, which is, the Grizz and Kutchin, I don't want to play around with him. I cannot trump anything he says. I'm going to say that because he's so involved and immersed in Kutchin, he is maintaining that since Lashma of Kutchin is, you say, Arezu Lashem Ola, so then that's it. One of my conceivable is that you don't do it for Ola, or you do it for anything else. What's that?
You're not allowed to have more dots.
You're not allowed to have more dots?
You're not allowed to have anything more involved.
You're not?
It was like zero Rabbana.
I didn't know that. I don't know what you mean.
In the first part, the Lishma ends at that point.
what carbon it is.
Really?
Yeah. It used to be that they did it properly, but then the Ravana said, no, don't work about it, because you're going to mess it up.
This is what? The first mission of what? Zvachim?
Somewhere on the first turn.
Zvachim?
Yeah. The Ravana has to be Stam. Stam Ola.
Uh-huh. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I don't know if that proves this issue or not. But the point of the Grizz's Kasha is that if you're offering an Ola, you're offering an Ola. That's it. So,
according to him, then you should be offering the Ola of Rosh Hashanah, the Ola of Rosh Chodesh, the Ola of the day.
All together. He's not saying that you should organize all the Olas together. He's saying... No, but he's saying that the Tadr Shana Tadr doesn't apply. If you have a bunch of mitzvos that are all done, and then the Torah gives you an order, whatever that order is can't be based on something happening more often than another, because they're all the same thing, so they don't happen more often than another. The Ola of Rosh Hashanah doesn't happen more often or less often than the Ola of Rosh Chodesh, because all it is an Ola. So it is an Ola. So it doesn't happen more or less often. So how could you use that as a precedent for Israel? No, he's saying Olas happen every day. Olas happen in the morning. Olas happen in the afternoon. Olas happen on Rosh Chodesh. Olas happen on Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, how could you use that to tell me that if you're faced with a mitzvah tefillin and a mitzvah tzitzis, you should do the one that is normally done more often? That's two separate mitzvahs, and you can choose it. Here is an Ola.
You're not offering up one Ola. You're offering up a package of five different carbonos.
Right. And they're all
Ola. If you only offer the Ola,
yeah.
They're not all Ola. Some of them are Achatas.
But we're not bringing a Raya that you bring the Ola before Achatas. We're bringing a Raya that you bring an Ola before an Ola.
If we viewed them all as individual Olas, not connected to anything, not part of the package, we would offer all the Olas first, because that's the most common carbon, and then we would offer the other carbonos.
But there's no halacha more common. That's the point. His kasha is, you're trying to give me a precedent for a case where an action, which is different than another action, has priority because that action happens more often. So he's saying the precedent here is that you're showing me that an Ola, which happens more often than another Ola, comes before that Ola. That has nothing to do with what I'm looking for. I'm trying to find a separate action.
So why would they choose something like that before?
Right. That's been a certain sense what the Grizzly. He's saying you're bringing me a raya from the precedent with it that doesn't fit the application of all the shots.
He's saying
the prioritization of this thing has nothing to do with the issue of Tadr Shana Tadr. It has to do with something else, whatever it is, I don't know, but it ain't Tadr Shana Tadr.
With Tadr Shana Tadr, it's lacking the...
All right, that's not an Ola.
If you know Ola, if you're going to say, so it's an Ola. So what is an Ola? The Tadr Shana Tadr would be of the Tadr Shana Tadr, or the Ola in general.
There's nothing wrong with what you're saying, but in order to say what you're saying, we're going to have to say, and here's the point, we're going to have to say that in addition to the regular din of kachin, which is that a carbon becomes kosher when you have kavanah lishma, and that would be, this is Demper Ola, there's also something else, which is that a person should have, not lishma, but a person should have kavanah for the mitzvah of what he's doing. What am I doing here? I'm serving God by doing the mitzvah of the tamid. This has nothing to do with the kachin tikkadin of lishma. This has to do with I am about to do a mitzvah, and God said, do a tamid. Then God said, do a musaf. And now the Torah told me, do the tamid before the musaf. Oh, now I see that in a different kind of an intention, I'm supposed to prioritize the one that I do more often over the one that I do less often. So the Briskaros Kasha is coming from the idea that in Kachim, L'shem Ola is L'shem Ola. And perhaps we could say that in addition to that, there's something else called intention for doing a mitzvah. There's nothing to do with Kachim. So what I'm saying is, maybe that's what the Brahman is coming to insinuate here when he says, V'zehu Musaf. V'zehu Musaf Shel Shabbos. meaning because I know that they're all olas. But the Rambam is saying, but there's also a thing that you have to know that you're doing a mitzvah of the Musaf of Shabbos. You're doing a mitzvah of the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. Doing the mitzvah of Chag HaMatzos. And therefore, in addition to Stam the Din of the Shema, there's also the idea that a person should know what he's doing. When I do Shema, I should know I'm doing Shema. When I put on Tefillin, I should know I'm doing Tefillin. When I'm doing offering the Korban Musaf of Shabbos, I should say, this is an Ola. That's good for the Kachim aspect. But besides that, I'm doing a mitzvah. What mitzvah am I doing? The mitzvah of Musaf. The mitzvah is it.
So therefore, the Rambam is attention.
What's that?
If one is not paying attention,
So now we get into the classic Shas Machlokas of Mitzvah Srichas Kavana or Ein Srichas Kavana. That's exactly true. But if one is not paying attention, according to many poskim, it's a Gemara. It's Machlokas Gemara. If a person does an action of a mitzvah completely correctly and is not paying attention, if you hold Mitzvah Srichas Kavana, he did nothing because he wasn't thinking. But if you hold Mitzvah Ein Srichas Kavana, as long as he did the action, even though he was totally gone and unconscious, well, he did it, not unconscious, we won't say that, but he was mentally in another space, he is go to the mitzvah. The Rambam happens to paskin mitzvah Jesus Kavana. That's what the Rambam paskin.
Right. So choosing of something that was that routine within the temple.
Yes, yeah.
Right? And then being removed, because Rambam is writing long since the destruction of the temple, and he's choosing something mentally, say, every day is a substitute for the sacrifice. Very repetition inside of a very repetition of the lesson.
Yes.
Through the repetition, you become routine, you become divorced from what your content, what you're trying to do in attention. Point.
You're putting it on a different level than I'm saying it, but I would agree with that 100%, and I would say it that way. I would say it that way. The main point I would say, though, in the technicality, is that perhaps the Rambam is giving us the insight that we have to know what we are doing when we do it, besides just the kachin din of having it be the same, the right karma. I don't know.
Why can't you just say that it has a shame on the karma, whether or not you pay attention?
Because
that's not true.
That have the
Shema. At the time of the bringing of the carbon, it might not matter, but this has to be designated at some point for the purpose of this.
Well, I understand what you're saying. Of course, it's true.
Not that while you're bringing, you have to have in mind Musa.
Yeah.
Or just when it's set aside, okay, here's the Ola of the morning, and here's the Ola of Musa, which is part of the package deal.
So that's a good question. Do the Kohanim have to set a carbon aside by saying that this particular carbon, which is, there's seven kvasim for Rosh Chodesh and there's seven kvasim for Rosh Hashanah. So on Rosh Hashanah morning, do they have to say, do they have to say that Spot and whatever the names of these
carbons,
Fino, whatever it is for Rosh Hashanah and this one is for Rosh Chodesh, or can they just say, here's 14 kvasim, we're going to use them, we'll pull them out however they come out, as long as they're set aside.
Well, they're handing over to the Levium, aren't they?
To the Kohanim. I mean, no.
The Yisrael, in the times of the Yisrael, I handed it directly to the Kohanim.
No, these are communal Kabbanas, which you have nothing to do with. You're in Beersheba and you're sleeping.
Each one was designated. Yeah. This is really interesting. Each one was designated in the morning.
Hopefully you're learning.
For sure.
But you're not even aware of the carbon at this time. You just know, thank God
that
thank God the Kohanim are taking care of this for me. Anyway,
first thing in the morning, they divide it up. Who gets which carbon and which animal it is? Right? Every single one of the animals is divided up over the course of the day.
Not exactly. You're referring to what the Gemara and Yom talks about for the Ola. I don't think they got who was Ola was what. That was who got to carry it up and who got to think, but that had nothing to do with which Ola was. I don't know. I can't find any, in my limited knowledge, can't find anything that says that this animal had to be for that. I'm not saying it didn't. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. We can't generalize from the. I think you're referring to the dinim where they assigned different parts of the animals to different people to carry up. But that was from the avodah.
These had different amounts of people.
Listen, this is all worthwhile, but I encourage to get off track. Let's get back. Let's stay back on track. Let's stay with the Rambam here. Let's agree that we don't know. The Rambam. Let's look. I want to look at a very interesting thing here. I thought it would be nice because we're going to wait for Shavuot soon and counting down to Shavuot. So look at the mitzvah number 45. The way the Rambam says it, which is not really a big chiddush, but it underlines mitzvah memhei. It's the second column on the top left. The hamitzvah hamemhei hi. Shetzivanu lahakriv karban musaf gam kein. The yom chamishim yom hakrabas haomer. That the Torah, that God commands us to offer a karban musaf also on the 50th day from the offering of the omer, which was done on day 2 of Pesach, which was the 16th. So the day of the offering of the omer, on the 16th of Nisan, you're counting 50 days. On day 50, you're going to offer a karban musaf, right? V'zehu musaf atzeres. And this, and Rambam continuing his pattern, this is the musaf of atzeres hanizkar, which is mentioned b'Midbar Sinai. So there are certain anomalies in this Rambam which beg us for attention. First of all, v'hakrev karban musaf gam kein. What do you mean also? He doesn't say also with any of the other musafim. Why does it say gam kein over here? So I'm going to disappoint you and give you an answer that doesn't blow your mind. It's just a practical answer. I think it's because the Rambam is saying this is gam kein, since I told you to be makir a special carbon at the beginning of the Omer on day 16. So now there's another message. Shivan lahakir carbon was of gam kein biyam chamishim biyam akavas Omer. So I think the gam kein is balanced with the original mitzvah that he did when he describes the Minchas HaOmer, that there also there was a karban together with the Minchas HaOmer. Now he's telling you to be makav another karban also on the 50th day from the day of the offering of the Omer. Not only on the first day are you offering another karban, but on the 50th day, and that's what's called musaf. Okay. I think that's what the gam kein is, but it definitely needs some interpretation. Second thing to note here in the Rambam, I think, is the Yom Chamishim, on the 50th day. The Rambam does not give us a day for this offering. He doesn't tell you the date. He doesn't give you a date of the month. He tells you on the 50th day from the counting of the, from the offering of the Omer, which is day 16. So day 16 of Nisan counts 50 days. So obviously, in the non-standardized calendar system, which the Torah envisions, Yitzhak Hashem will get back to it one day, so there, you couldn't give a date because Shavuos came out on the 5th, 6th, or 7th of Sivan, depending on how long Nisan was and how long Iyar was. And Nisan could be 30 days or 29, and Iyar could be 30 days or 29. If Nisan and Iyar were both 30 days, then 50 days from the 16th came out to be day 5 of Sivan. If Nisan was 29 and Iyar was 29, then 50 days from the 16th of Nisan comes out to be day 7 of the month of Sivan. So there's a range of 3 days, 5, 6, or 7, that Shavuos could come out. Therefore, there is no date given, which itself points to a fascinating dimension of Shavuos, which is the day that the Torah was given is not observed based on a calendar date. Very interesting. There's a lot of reasons for that that could be possibly offered, but it's fascinating that the Torah does not even insist that we observe the day that the Torah was given on a date. It insists that we do it 50 days after the Omer, but not a date. And one could say that that's in keeping with the notion that if you ever think the Torah was given on a particular day, then you don't understand the nature of the giving of the Torah. The Torah wasn't given on a particular day. The Torah is given every day, and if you would start saying that that date on the calendar is the day the Torah was given, you will be relegating the Torah to an historical event as opposed to an ongoing revelation. That could be that that's the idea of why the Torah doesn't have
it. I've heard on the same thing.
Yeah, pretty good.
It doesn't actually mention the spoken here by Morgan Green. My source doesn't mention this was the Torah was given. We learn that from Torah Shavata, so we can't associate Torah Shavata.
Very good. There's a lot, very good. There's a lot to talk about. Moshe Hosef Yomecha Midaita, Moshe has another day. So lots to talk about. Anyway, so Rambam says Yom Chamishim. So on the handout that I gave you, on this week's handout, I added to the handout that we had last week, so here I just want to point out quickly, we have some time, this is the Magen Avraham. You see on the other side, from the side we were looking at, I can look over here. There's an extra Magen Avraham if somebody wants to look at it. But the Magen Avraham in Tafsari Tahar, which is Tafsar Shavuos, asks the question, this is how he opens up, this is how he, Kasherli, Teich, everybody got that? Hey, you see that right there? Especially, I don't understand. So the Heichanu Amram B'Shavuos Yom Matzah Torah. How can we say it's the day of the giving of the Torah? I know, says the Magen Avraham, I look at my calendar and I see that Shavuos always starts on the 6th of Sivan. And we passed him like Rav Yossi that it was given on the 7th of Sivan. So how can we say, Yom Matan Torah Zeinu, Zmanet Tal Karolan, the Bailu Prajiv Avonis, who brings a riot from a halacha about separating from one's wife, the whole thing, which means that it's going to have to end up being on the 7th. Well, you done La'ol and Shavuos above the Sivan. We always have Shavuos on the 6th. Well, that was the Rambam. He goes back, okay, the Rambam Paschas also differently. Okay, fine. I don't want to get into that whole issue of Prisha. But he's like, Imkang, you got that? The Imkang in Agenu? Everybody got that? The Imkang in Agenu, if so, our custom, where is that? The second line of the Maryland. The Imkang, Minagenu, who Alpia Rambam, comes out that our practice of going to the 6th is according to the Rambam, the way he passed in this issue of separated from wives. Okay, fine. Umasha Kasha Od, and another problem is Dar Torah Nitta Biyom Nun Alas Nasira. If the Torah was given on the 7th, it comes out 51 days after Sira Saomer. Now Yasu Rachan Biyom Hay, we know they came out on Thursday from Egypt. And we also know that the Torah was given on Shabbos. Dar Torah Nitta B'Shabbos. So just figure it out. Go 7 weeks ahead from a Thursday, you're going to get to 51 on Shabbos. Right? So, So Kfar Tireh Ta, somebody, I don't know who this is, the Ba Lirmoz Lanu Yom Tov Sheni Shagolius. Amazing answer.
Yeah.
An amazing answer.
Yeah.
Here you see some kind of a possibility of an extra day of Yom Tov, which we'll see. The Efshar, the Hain is the Gomer Yom Echad Hosemash Midaito. It could be that that's one of the intentions, so to speak, of the Gomer when it says that Moshe added an extra day, meaning Moshe also sensed the coming of the Yom Tov Sheni, and therefore he added another day to the giving of the Torah. The Torah was kind of given on the 6th, but it was also given on the 7th to reflect on. He says, V'ein kan mekama. This is not the place to get into that. What he means is we're learning Shulchan Aruch, and we're not sitting here trying to figure these things out. That's serious. That's what I mean. So now the Chok Yaakov, okay, that's a smaller print. I blew it up there. Okay, can I borrow with you because my eyes can't read this too well anymore. So the Chok Yaakov says like this. I just want to go through this because it's relevant and it has to do with the 50th. The Yom Chamishim, which is only the 50th day, going on the Shulchan Aruch, the Kasu Achronim, she Ma'achrim B'Tfilas Arvis, you're supposed to daven late on Marav, on Shavuos Kadeshi, Tzimimos Yom HaSfira, so the day of the Sfira should be complete. Omash, which is Magen Avraham, Miyor Deya, Tzimim Kusari Vav, Magen Avraham's Kasha, which proves that the Shavuos should be celebrated on a different day, on the 7th, and that on the 6th, I insisted Torah Sashlanim, Masha Kasa Shem. Go look over there what he says. Umasha Masha Oh, the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham's second Kasha. The Shame Asar Ma'amaras. That the question was, the Kivan to be Yom Chamishi, Yom Chamishi, Yom Chamishi, Yom Chamishi, on a Thursday, as Kiddisa the Shabbos, as we have in the second Shabbos. Uvi Yom Vav Hischilu Lispara Sfira. So it comes out that it was on Friday, was the first day of Torah Zomer. Comes out into the Yom HaChamishi in the 50th day, the Yom Vav, comes out that day 50 would have been Friday, Ulikali Yom of the Shabbos is the Torah, but everybody agrees the Torah was given on a Saturday, on a Shabbos. Nisa, the Yom Nunalos in the Torah, comes out that the Torah was given on day 51, the Lama Osir Chav Shuras, the Yom HaChamishi, and why do we make Shuras on the 50th day? Why don't we follow history and do it on the 51st day? So he says the two eights, and he's quoting them, we're going to bring the Balurimas, Manush, Yom Tishen, and Shogolios. So he answered that he's trying to hint to us to the second day of Yom Tov, Adkan Lashono, end quote. Teretz Zetzmoa, this Teretz is unbelievable. Dimke Yihi Yom HaSheni Ikra Yom Tov. So it comes out that the second day of Yom Tov is more important than the first day of Yom Tov, because that's the day the Torah was given, right? If an Eretz Yisrael shows in Rakim Echad, and people in the Eretz Yisrael only do one, Mike and Lamar, what are you going to do with them? They have the minor day of Yom Tov, because they only do one Yom Tov, right? So first of all, this is a halachic mind. would not get tripped up by this at all. It's just happens if a cat is better to be in Dover than to be in
Dover.
2 hours. A lot of mine is that, what are you, these guys are keeping one day as long as you want to get, deprive them of, you want, you know, okay. Vayi Masha Kosova Kushas, I'm telling you, when I heard this, I got emotional. Go through the same, she goes, beautiful, and so beautiful. Didn't bother me. None of this bothered me. Then
even
you guys come along
and
go.
Even to be in Eretz Yisrael, and so it's irrelevant what we're doing outside.
Exactly right. I'm just saying, okay. Vayi Masha Kosova Kushas, okay. So the nearly made Carla Kashamidi says, I don't have any problems at all. Masha Kosova Yvashim and Tedivah. Why? Shemo the Torah is not interested in making Shavuos come out on the day that the Torah was given. It only wants it to come out on the 50th day. Nowadays, when we know how to make months, when we know the calendar, now we make it come out on the day that Shavuos happened. Nisan, Malay, the Iyar Chatzar, we always have 30 days of Nisan, we always have 29 days of Iyar. Nimta, Dan Shlomo, Shlomishim Yom, hey, she should receive it, it comes out, the 5th day always comes out on the 6th. Okay, no, I'm in Yom Matin Torah. That's what we say is the day of the giving of the Torah. And that's only because we have a set thing. But Iyar Chanami, in those days, it didn't work out that way. The Chen Mavur Mahedio, he goes through the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yizayim, Yisanya, Rishmaya, Atzeres, Pa'amim Chanisha V'sivan, Pa'amim V'shisha V'sivan, Pa'amim V'shiva, HaKetzad, and he goes into the computation that I ran through before, Shnei, Malayim, Misa, V'ir, it comes out on the 5th, one is Malay, one is Chanisha, comes out on the 6th. HaRedlai Haidia, Kishraim, HaKashim, HaPi, every year. It's clear and explicit, when they used to sanctify the moon through seeing the moon, Hayu, Pa'amim, Chal, Chag, HaShavuos, V'chamisha V'sivan, sometimes Shavuos will come out on the 5th of Sivan. Asha, Daimon, and Atara, even though the Torah wasn't given on the 5th. According to everyone. Everybody agrees the Torah wasn't given on the 5th day of Sivan, but 50 days after the 16th of Nisan, sometimes could be the 5th of Sivan. Ella, Bavaz, everybody agrees it was given on the 6th or 7th. Nobody says it was the 5th. Ella, Vadeh Deinaf Kusa Klavazah. That's not the intention of the Torah. The Torah doesn't care if you observe Shavuos on the exact day that the Torah was given. That's not the interest of the Torah. It wants it to be 50 days after, and that's it. It doesn't care about the historical accuracy of the observance of the day, because that's not the point. But I must go find. Okay, I'm just pointing here that the Rambam's language is very consistent with everything else that we know about Shavuos. It's 50 days after the 15th of Sivan of Nisan, and that's it.
Did they not observe the practices related to Matan Torah?
What practices? Learning?
Learning.
I don't know.
The flowers.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Let's say they didn't.
What?
Let's say they didn't.
Did they say Matan Torah Seinu?
What? Yeah, they did. That's what he's saying.
Even if it came out of the 5th?
Yeah.
The Torah also doesn't... I don't...
Because what he's saying is, that year, it was 50 days after because of however the moons worked out that year, but we don't care about that date. We only care that it's 50 days after the Seinu Sivan. We don't, you know, he's saying we don't care about the date. We care about 50 days after the
6th. This is the only holiday.
Yeah.
Group
that yeah, that's right. It's an amazing thing.
Specifically, we're slipping on the idea that you have to, that this is the reason for sure. It doesn't say that in the Torah, does it?
That's correct.
It never says that.
We have
that association. It says this is what you do 50 days afterwards.
Right. We have a Gemara that goes through the computation. The Torah does give you enough information to know that the Torah was given on the 6th or the 7th.
Yeah, right. So
you're stuck with the 6th or the 7th.
We add this. That was a wonderful thing, that it was this. We never actually... Like, we're putting that together.
Fine, but Chazal were Kaveya, Zman Matan Torah Seinu. When Chazal wrote the Master, they didn't say stay up all night, and they didn't say put flowers to shul. They just said, this is the time the Torah was given. That's the Chazal.
Like, this is the day that you brought the bread. Like, you know?
But I'm saying is Chazal are telling you this day is the observance of the giving of the Torah. So you have a good kasha. If the date doesn't work out, you have a good kasha. Chazal said, observe this as the day of the giving of the Torah. That's what they said in the Avodah, the definitive Shmona Esrei of that day. This is Man Matan Torah Seinu. It's not just a haphazard thing. Chazal. So therefore the Magen Avraham has a right to ask this question. I'm stuck. It didn't happen that day. Says Chok Yaakov, we don't care about the calendar dates. We care about the fact that it's 50 days after the 16th of Sivan, and indeed it didn't happen that day, but it doesn't matter. What we really care about is that it happened 50 days after. So if you end up on the 5th, Yes, it's right. They're on a different level. Yes.
What is it? 50 days after? I thought the Thursday Shabbos thing would mean would have to be
one. Yeah.
So it's not actually even 50 days.
It's not even 50 days. How does he answer that?
Right.
All right. Saying that there's a holiday which is not related whatsoever, which the Torah tells us to observe.
But just they decided to take 50 days instead of 51 days. Why?
The Torah says 50 days.
I understand that. But that's kind of funny.
See, the Thursday, the Thursday to Shabbos thing is inescapable. You can say whatever you want about the months and the calendar date of that year, but it was 51 days later.
Right. We're assuming they're connected. The Torah and, the holiday of Shavuot is related.
It doesn't really answer that question. It doesn't really answer the gap. There's an answer to the gap.
There's something going on.
Well, that's the whole sugya in Shabbos. Tezayin, the whole sugya of the Shabbos is there. And that's what they answered. That on day 50, Moshe acted as if the Torah was given by adding another day, and therefore the Torah was given on day 50 in the sense that Moshe had the authority to do what he did. Mm-hmm. Right? So till then it was B'Shamayim, and now it's in the hands of people. Yeah, so, yeah. So I'm just saying, so there are two wisdom, but he doesn't get into it. He really doesn't answer that. He just says that the calendar date is not a day. The Chok Yaakov just says the calendar date doesn't bother us, but he doesn't really get into 51 versus 50.
You don't have the much harder explanation of why you keep a second day in Galus.
Or Shavuos,
because you know the day always.
Right, because
he asked this question very. The Magen Avraham asked the question very nicely.
Very good.
You have to have it today, otherwise it wouldn't work any time.
Very good. Very good. That's true. Shavuos is the only time when Sekhet Yoma doesn't really make sense.
Why not?
Because it's linked to an event that happened 50 days before.
Oh.
So by the time you figure, by the time you get all the information, you already have plenty of time to know what Shavuos will be. That's the kasha they ask. Why don't we count Sira? Today is either the first day or the second day. Today is either the second day or the third day. Why don't we count Sira? They ask the kasha. One of the truths they give is there's no such thing as counting that says I don't know what day it is. You can't fulfill the mitzvah by saying I don't know. Right. It's not counting if you can't say the number. It's such a Jewish problem. It's erotic. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.